It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Well, Jamie, you know this, and other people may still know it or have forgotten. Today is the day, the deadline, because a president can start a military action, but without congressional approval. But in 60 days, they have to get congressional approval. And today is the day that the president would have to get congressional approval. But as is always the case, this administration is trying to skirt the law, and they are saying that the war in Iran has already ended because of the ceasefire that began in early April. Now, that's an interpretation that would allow the White House to avoid the need to seek congressional approval. The statement furthers an argument laid out by Pete Hegseth during his testimony in the Senate yesterday when he said the ceasefire effectively paused the war. I'm talking to myself. Let me finish. You're the only one who's interrupting you, numbskull. Under that rationale, the administration has not yet met the requirement mandated by a 1973 law to seek formal approval from Congress for military action that extends beyond 60 days. Correct me if I'm wrong. We still have a military blockade in place in the Strait of Hormuz.
Yes.
We still have people on standby, military forces on standby in the area. We are still intercepting ships that are coming through. We're boarding them. We're taking their crews. We're still doing all that during the quote-unquote ceasefire, correct?
Yes. Those are all correct answers, yes.
Okay. Because sometimes I think maybe I got TDS, you know. Maybe I'm suffering from a little Trump-deranged syndrome.
We're not negotiating to end it completely, right? Like, we haven't sent anybody to the talks to end the war.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
We're waiting for a phone call.
That's right.
And yes, we have technically stopped bombing.
Sure. For the time being.
We haven't pulled our... The war end isn't the end of a war. I'm old enough to remember when Vietnam ended. We pulled our troops out.
Right.
It was not done easily. But I remember when Joe Biden pulled the troops out of Afghanistan.
Right.
Again, not done correctly, but it was done. That's when a war is over,
sure.
When you bring everybody home. If they're still on standby, you are still at war.
Well, it correct me if I'm wrong, but other countries have not abided by the ceasefire, correct? I mean, I know the ceasefire is technically between the United States and Iran, but at the same time, other countries who have also been mixed up into this have not abided by any sort of ceasefire. So
Israel's tentative ceasefire was never part of the, at the very beginning, they said, this is not part of the U.S.-Iran ceasefire. We are still, at first they were still doing all their bombing.
But
then they reached a tentative ceasefire with Lebanon, which is supposed to be separate.
But there's still stuff happening, and it's all stuff that was perpetuated by the United States.
Well, was it?
I mean, that's what I'm assuming based on what I know for facts, that this was perpetuated by the United States along with Israel's guidance.
There you go. Yes. Well, we did make the decision on February 28th to bomb Iran, and everything since has come because of that decision.
Right.
So you are exactly right. Did the president make that decision on his own? I don't know. But either way, today's supposed to be the day. Now, a senior administration official spoke on the condition of anonymity, said the hostilities began Saturday, February 28th. Those have terminated. Now, the official said the U.S. military and Iran have not exchanged fire since the two-week ceasefire. But that's not...
It's because it's a ceasefire.
That's not the end of the war.
No, it's a ceasefire.
You have not reached... Right. There's no peace agreement. There's no declaration. There's nothing. You're just hanging on.
Wow.
So the ceasefire has been extended. Iran maintains its chokehold on the Strait of Hormuz, as you know, and the Navy is maintaining a blockade, just like we said before. I read something from somebody who was in Trump's first administration in the Defense Department, and they said that theoretically what they would advise this administration to do is just rename it. Start a new operation, renamed something else close to this one, and call it a self-defense mission. So that's another way they could skirt the law. Now, if I'm Congress, which we know is really starting to the Republican support of this war is starting to splinter for a variety of reasons, which we talked about before. At some point, they're going to say, listen, you got to come to, he knows they'll rubber stamp it. But you can't keep putting us over in the corner and not paying attention to us.
I think, and part of, I think, the consternation on some of the GOP members is the fact that they've been in office long enough, literally, to some of them, to remember
since the Civil War.
To remember what it was like during all of the other Middle East self-defense missions or wars. These were ongoing. They were years and years and years of troops in and out of trying to keep of a peacekeeping mission of certain attacks. I mean, that's essentially what they were. And there was really never an end in sight, which was the problem for a lot of GOP members when this particular war started, is that they were afraid that that's what it was going to turn into. And it turns out that that's what it has turned into. Now, here's my next question. Is Iran aware that the war is over and that the ceasefire agreement is the end of the war? Okay.
Because they want the blockade out. And just because, Jamie, sometimes we have to check in with our AI overlords. So the question to our AI overlords was, does a ceasefire mean a war is over? A ceasefire is a temporary halt to hostilities, not a peace agreement. It can be used to negotiate terms for a lasting peace. Ceasefires may break down if underlying issues arrive. A ceasefire can lead to more formal treaty, but is not guaranteed. So, no, a ceasefire does not mean the end of a war. A formal peace treaty is needed for a war to be over.
Didn't we have one of those? We had one of those. It was working.
A war?
Well, we had a peace treaty. It
was
working.
Yeah, we had a deal. We had a deal with Iran. Oh, sure.
A nuclear treaty.
You're talking about that bad deal that Obama made?
It was a great one, and Iran was actually adhering to it. The UN was doing their inspections, and lo and behold, the nuclear program under that deal in Iran had not actually grown. They were adhering to what was laid out in front of them. We already had that deal.
No, it's we did have that deal, and you're correct, it was working. And now it's hilarious yet unbelievably frustrating to hear not only the president but Pete Hegseth and everybody else just screaming out anytime they're asked about the cost of the war, whether it's the cost of oil, the cost of human lives, the cost to taxpayers, all they yell out is, "What's the cost of them having a nuclear warhead?" They didn't have one.
But you told me you obliterated it the first go around in June.
Well, now you're picking nits. Now you're going. Now you're using their own words against them, and that's not how that works. They can say what they want. You can't bring it back up.
I am somebody who likes to dabble in facts and what has actually happened, and apparently I don't know. I don't understand.
Facts,
I don't understand
schmacks.
Anything according to this administration. Lynn in Golden Valley chiming in, listening on WCFW 93.5, The Tap in Eau Claire. She says, I see a lot of GOP claiming they are still against the war. They do not want to be forced to go on record voting yes. That's exactly what it is, especially in midterms where they're losing and the war is incredibly unpopular among independents, Democrats, and Republicans. So, no, you're absolutely correct. But we have other stuff.
There is more stuff you need to know, and some of it is right here in Wisconsin.
It is. So there's a leaked memo now, apparently, from consultants to U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany's campaign as he runs for governor. And it gives voters a glimpse into how a Republican campaign sizes up its potential competition from the Democratic side. Now, in this particular case, Tiffany's consultants were raising a warning about State Representative Francesca Hong's early momentum in the Democratic primary field, and even went as far as suggesting a strategy for how to prepare for a general election contest against a candidate who identifies as a Democratic socialist. As a counter, Hong's Democratic rivals have pointed to polling showing her as the only candidate losing in a hypothetical matchup with Tom Tiffany. Now, in a statement on Hong's candidacy, Tiffany's camp said that the campaign is prepared to, no matter the outcome of the Democratic Party, because they are all selling the same recycled agenda Wisconsin has endured for 7 years, higher taxes, bigger government, and fewer choices for families. Now, we need to take Francesca Hong seriously is the name of this memo.
Oh.
And it warns in the subject, that's the warning in the subject line, and it was prepared earlier this month by some consultants to Tom Tiffany. They cited polling that shows Hong's early strength. And in a Marquette poll that was released in late March, around March 24th, Hong led the field with about 14%, followed by former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes at 11%, and the rest of the field, because remember, there are seven gubernatorial candidates on the Democratic side, they were all in single digits, but 65% of people were still undecided as of March 24th.
Early.
It is very early.
And 3 points is not a...
No,
you know,
no,
walking away with it.
No,
at this point.
Absolutely, and depending on who you're asking, that's all within the margin of error.
Sure.
The memo compares Hong to other potential Democratic candidates Tiffany could face in the November 3rd general election, viewing her as someone whose nomination is, quote, virtually guarantees elevated Democratic enthusiasm and turnout in Dane County and the Milwaukee media market where statewide races are decided. Now, in contrast, this memo also...
That makes everybody else who lives in Wisconsin very angry.
This is where it gets tricky, and you're right, because the memo also contrasts that by saying that more moderates and establishment Democratic alternatives would likely produce lower base motivation and depressed turnout. Now, Francesca Hong is 37. She represents Wisconsin's 76th Assembly District in the heart of Madison. She's been in that seat since 2021. She earned acclaim in her early 20s as a chef in Madison, becoming co-owner and co-chef of Morris Ramen, which closed in 2024 after 7 years in business.
Hmm.
So I think this is fascinating. I think that whether you want to look at this as just Francesca Hong or not, I think it also tells you exactly how the Tiffany camp is going to basically portray any Democratic gubernatorial candidate, no matter who it is.
And you wonder why, you wonder who leaked it,
mm-hmm.
wonder why it got leaked at this time. Politics is a dirty business, as we all know. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. The other candidates, like you said, are already saying, what has she done? So it's to sow more discord among the Democrats. It's also to try to disenfranchise rural Democrats.
Of course.
Democrats outside of the Milwaukee and Madison markets. But it could also backfire because if you're in Green Bay or say you're up north and you're a Democrat and now you hear Tom Tiffany go, Tom Tiffany's campaign. It wasn't Tom Tiffany.
Right.
It was this memo, maybe a legit memo, maybe not. We don't know, but the memo is out there, and you're going, so he doesn't think we can decide an election?
Right.
Well, we'll show the Republicans, won't we? Yes, we will.